God bless you, Brother Chris, and our choir. Brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you know this morning that in 2023, regardless of what it may bring, that if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, that Christ is in fact your sure and steady anchor. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 12 and verse 12. John chapter 12 and verse 12. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, The Glory of Jesus. The Glory of Jesus. If you were here last Sunday morning, January the 1st, we began John chapter 12, and if you will remember, I shared with you that this was the beginning of essentially the last week of Jesus' life before his crucifixion. And I let you know of how interesting John's gospel is in that John chapters 1 through 11 cover approximately 3 years. Jesus' earthly ministry from when he was 30 till approximately 33. But the second half of John's gospel, John chapters 12 through 21, the pace slows down incredibly. And John, in those chapters, 12 through 21, focuses on essentially 8 days. And so chapters 1 through 11, 3 years. Chapters 12 through 21, 8 days. It's a very interesting account of Jesus' life. So John chapters 12 through 21 is what we would often describe as Passion Week. And today, what we're going to see, and probably even with a heading in your Bibles that says something like the triumphal entry or the royal entry. So, looking not too far down the line to Easter in April, which will be here before you know it. On Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at this last week of Jesus' life, Passion Week. Today is going to start on what we know of as Palm Sunday. It's odd to be talking about Palm Sunday in January, but nonetheless, we will be. Before we look at verse 12, can I direct your attention to verse 23? John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And so this morning, we're going to be talking about the glory of Jesus. What does that mean? And specifically, what does that mean for you? You may remember that in John's gospel, on multiple occasions, Jesus has made reference to his time. His time was not yet. His time had not come. The hour was not yet. The hour had not come. And what he was referencing were the events that would set in motion his betrayal and arrest and death and resurrection. And up to this point, that hour had not come. It was not time for those events. And consequently, oftentimes, Jesus escaped or was able to get away from his enemies and those who were trying to trap him. But today, the hour has come, verse 23 says. And so beginning today, we will start to see some proverbial dominoes falling that will set in motion the events of the last week of his life that would set him apart from every other human being in the world and every other savior figure in the world. Because Jesus will end up dying for our sin in our place on the cross. But what makes him different and unique from anyone else ever is that he rose from the grave, never to die again, and even is alive today as I speak and as we gather. And so as we talk this morning about the glory of Jesus, would you stand in honor of God's word if you are able? You can follow along on the screens behind me or in your copy of God's word, John chapter 12, beginning in verse 12 and through verse 26. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Let's pray together. Father, in these next few moments, I ask and pray that your Spirit would be at work in our lives. For those who know Christ as Savior, molding us and shaping us more into the image of Jesus, convicting us of sin, leading us to righteousness. Father, for those of us who are lost, I pray, Father, that you would convict them of their lostness and draw them unto you. Father, again, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the Word of God. May you teach us now in these next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. As we think this morning about the glory of Christ, and the glory of Jesus, I want you to see in verses 12 and 13, that the glory of Jesus is that He came to save. He came to save. Verse 12 says, the next day. Well, let me just back up a couple of days to remind you. Remember, Jesus came to Bethany on Friday night. And more than likely, He stayed with some friends, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, brothers and sisters. And then it was on Saturday that Jesus went to a meal, a dinner in His honor at the house of Simon the leper. It was a large gathering of 17 plus people, the disciples and Lazarus and Martha and Mary and Simon and Jesus and perhaps more. And it was there at that dinner, that meal in honor of the Lord Jesus, that Mary did the unbelievable. She took some very costly oil, what we might find similar to perfume. And she anointed Jesus' feet. By Jesus' own words, He said that Mary was anointing Him for burial, looking forward to His death. And then, again, in an unbelievable act, for a woman who was not Jesus' wife, who let down her hair and then wiped the oil on Jesus' feet. An act of worship and love and gratitude. An act consistent with a God-honoring life. And that's what we talked about last Sunday morning, living a God-honoring life in 2023. Well, that happened on Saturday night, and so now the next day, Sunday, a great multitude had come to the feast. This is the Passover feast there in Jerusalem. They had heard that Jesus was probably going to be there, so they were on the lookout for Him. And when they saw Him coming, verse 13 says that they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him and then begin to shout and begin to cry out. And you probably have this image in your mind of the triumphal entry or the royal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And they were shouting, Hosanna, which means praise God, save us now. Praise God, save us now, because they were recognizing Jesus as the promised Messiah. They were quoting Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then talking about Jesus, the King of Israel. And so, yes, we are very well aware that Jesus came to be the Savior of Israel. But brothers and sisters, I am grateful and thankful to remind you this morning that Jesus also came to be the Savior of Gentiles. The Savior of the world. If you look down in verse 20, a foreshadowing. Now there were certain Greeks, or your translation may say Gentiles, among those who came up to worship at the feast, reminding us. Again, yes, he came to be the King of Israel, but He also came to be the King of the world. And the glory of Jesus is that He came to save. And so you can have that confidence and that assurance and that boldness that when God puts people in your path in this new year, not by accident, but by providence, and it might be at work, and it might be at school, and it might be a restaurant, and it might be a store, and it might be in your neighborhood, and it might be at the ball field or the golf course or the lake, If they don't have a saving relationship with Christ, then God has put them in your path so that you and I can remind them that Jesus came to save. He came to save him. He came to save her. He came to save them. The glory of Jesus is that he came to save. Beginning in verse 14, we also see that the glory of Jesus is that he came in peace. The glory of Jesus is that he came in peace, P-E-A-C-E. Verse 14 says, "Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it is written." And then you have the repeating of Zechariah 9:9. "Fear not, daughter of Zion." Another term for Jerusalem. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." See, what was taking place here was extremely ironic, extremely paradoxical. Because you see, these individuals had just declared Jesus as the King of Israel. But he did not come into Jerusalem on a white war horse. He did not ride into Jerusalem in his chariot with his army behind him. He did not come into Jerusalem dragging the conquered kings behind him. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of peace and humility. Extremely ironic and even confusing for many in this day, and perhaps even still confusing for us today. See, the glory of Jesus is that he came in peace. And I want you to think about that in your life for 2023. Are you seeking and are you advocating and are you an instrument of peace in your relationships? Or do you have to win every argument? Do you have to win every contest? Do you have to be the last one standing? Do you have to have the final post and the final word on social media? I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, in 2023, rather than having to have the last word or running roughshod or getting your way, like Jesus, may the glory of Christ be evident in your life, coming in peace. Here's what the Apostle Paul tells us as he picked up on this truth. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, listen to what he says. "If it is possible, as much as it depends on you," and you know very well, brothers and sisters, you can't control others. You can't control what they say. You can't control what they do. You can't control what they post. You can't control how they respond or how they react. But we can control us. Amen? "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." That includes your spouse. That includes your children. That includes your co-workers, your employees, Include your neighbors. Include your classmates. It includes the people on this side of the room and these people on this side of the room and everyone in the middle. The glory of Jesus is that He came to save. And so let us point people to Him. He came in peace. Let us be ambassadors of peace. And then thirdly, the glory of Jesus is that He came to die. We continue in the text, verse 16 may point to a different group of disciples than the 12. And as you read this verse, obviously John is writing after the fact, but he says his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, when He was crucified, when He was resurrected, when He had ascended, they remembered that these things were written about Him and that they had done these things to Him. Verse 17, therefore the people who were with Jesus when He called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. In other words, these people were simply reporting what they had seen and heard. And brothers and sisters, that's all the Lord Jesus wants of you in the new year. To simply bear witness of Him. To tell others what you know to be true about Jesus in your life. That He saved you. And forgave you. And loves you. Verse 18, for this reason the people also met Him, because they had heard that He had done this sign. But here we see that proverbial group of enemies of the Lord Jesus. Verse 19, the Pharisees, those Jewish religious leaders, therefore said among themselves regarding the crowd coming to Jesus, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. They were very frustrated with the situation. They're very frustrated with Jesus' popularity and people being drawn to Him. You see their words there in verse 19. Look, the world has gone after Him. And in other words, their task, their desire was going to be that much more difficult because at least here, in these first couple of days of the week, Jesus' popularity was growing. There in verse 20, some commentators actually moved this event to Monday. That may be true. That may not be true. Hard for us to know. But it says that there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip. Well, why do they come to Philip? Well, we're not exactly sure, but Philip is a Greek name. Maybe they felt a sense of connection with him. They came up to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. So Philip told Andrew, and Andrew turned, Philip told Jesus. And listen to Jesus' response. Again, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It's now time. It's now time for the dominoes to begin falling. It's now time for God's ultimate plan to begin to come to fruition. And in verse 24, he uses an illustration about agriculture. He's talking about himself. Listen to what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Now, we know that it doesn't die. It actually is just simply buried. But if a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies or it's buried, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Well, Jesus was talking about his own death, foreshadowing his own death, and how his death and subsequently his resurrection would produce a harvest of souls for eternity. But then, in verses 25 and 26, he applies what is going to happen to Jesus, what is going to happen to himself, he applies to those who would come after him. Listen to what he says. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, is Jesus meaning that you have to hate yourself and you have to hate everything about yourself? And no. He's speaking comparatively. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, this is not a message that you're going to hear from preachers on television this morning. This is not a message that you're going to hear or read on the bestseller list. You see, the glory of Jesus is that he came to die. And he's inviting those who would come after him to do the same. Brother Richard, you mean he's inviting us to die like Bobby Robbins died and Brad Cobb died? No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about dying to yourself, dying to your will, dying to your desire. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. The Apostle Paul, again, knowing about Jesus, understanding the teachings of Jesus, and then being that missionary and that pastor to those first century churches, here's what he said when he wrote to the Galatian church. And I know that some of you probably have this verse memorized. Listen to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. You mean Paul died there on Calvary with Jesus? Not physically. But he says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. It's not Paul who lives and what Paul wants to do and what Paul thinks is best. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my invitation to you this morning. And it's not a popular invitation. And it will not be an invitation that's answered by the masses. Oh, we want to die. We want to die. No. But if you want the glory of Jesus in your life, and on display in your life, he came to save. He came in peace. And he came to die. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, for us that means dying daily. Dying daily to the ways of the world and the ways of sin and the ways of self. And being crucified with Christ. And then in turn living for him and according to him. And allowing him to live in and through us. For I've been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, yes, the invitation is for you to die. For you to die that first time by confessing that you are a sinner. Remembering and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place and for your sin. And calling on the name of the Lord to save you. He came to save. And He's ready to save you this morning. I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, in 2023. I want to challenge you to let the glory of Jesus live in your life. Let the glory of Jesus be on display in your life, pointing others to Jesus. As far as it depends on us, being at peace with others. And daily dying to self and letting Christ live in and through us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment after I finish praying, we're going to offer you a public invitation. And invite you to respond publicly to God's word and the invitation that we have heard this morning. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And I'm going to be here at the front. Brother Ronnie is going to be here at the front, our Minister of Youth and Education. And today, if you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time and call on the name of the Lord to save you, and you've never done that previously, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front and allow us to pray with you and counsel with you and rejoice with you and point you into the next steps of obedience in your new relationship with Christ. Maybe God is calling you this morning to die to a certain attitude, to die to a certain behavior, to die to a certain relationship or certain feeling that you're holding on to. I'll trust you to do business with the Lord as He leads you. Our invitation will be for you to, for our guests to formally unite with Emory Baptist Church. Our invitation will be for you, if you need to follow through and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, will you allow the Lord to have His way in your heart and in your life at this time? Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful that we've had an opportunity to hear from Jesus this morning. Not a popular invitation, but the invitation nonetheless that is given. For us to come and die, because that's what you did. And then for us to allow you to live in and through us, because you are alive today. And we praise your name for that. Lord, we trust you to have your way in our hearts and in our lives during this time of invitation. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Today we would invite you to respond publicly to God's word.